Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. Friends like my friend, Miss Neely Piazza, the top dog, the top nutritionist, the top homeopath that I know. Yeah, she didn't let friends feed kibble. What's up, Niels?
Not much. What's up with you?
Well, you know, we just got through. You and I were in Tom's session this morning, and I love this word that describes what we deal with every single day. It's not a word. It's a phrase. It's a title. It's called the
descriptor.
A descriptor. It's called the principle of redemptive violence. Now, I don't think that any of my listeners know this. Principle of redemptive violence.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, because you're in Tom's new biology course, and then you attend a lot of his lives, and a lot's going on. It really does help when you study with somebody to help you change your thinking, right? To break out the snap out of the thinking that we've all been programmed to think.
Yeah, it's kind of like bowling with the little inflated things in the gutters. So when you start veering too far off track, they bring you back to center, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Wait, we just did that because my granddaughters were here, and they're 3 and 4, and we went bowling, and they used the bumpers, and then they and I'd never seen that before. That was new to me. They used the bumpers, and she actually beat me. And she won the whole thing because she got to use bumpers and the little inflatable thing, right? So it never went in the gutter. That's okay.
That's funny.
You let 4-year-olds win. That's what you do. I guess. I don't know. Does that teach them that, you know, or do you?
I don't know.
Do you beat them? Beat them really bad so they never want to play again. No, I'm kidding.
No. But, I mean, this whole culture of no accountability and everybody, you know,
gets a trophy.
Yeah, that's, I don't think that is productive in any way either. I mean, you know, some people are better at some things than other people are. That's just the way it is. And if you can't deal with that, you're not going to be able to realistically deal with anything later on.
Well, yeah, you are, because they're going to make the world bumpers and inflatables. I mean, so that you never have to go in the gutter. But
it's so superficial. I mean, that just makes everything, that takes all the meaning out of anything.
I know. Girl, I have a warehouse where here's the description that if you're in this business, Here's the description of the business. It's cold. It's heavy. It's dirty. It's repetitive. It is constant. Do you want the job? Right? So I get it, right? It's a lot of work. And not just my industry. There's a lot of industries like that, right? Where the product is cold. It's frozen. It's heavy.
Right.
You got to take it off pallets. You got to unload pallets. Put on pallets. You got to put in boxes. You got to take out of boxes. There's a lot of physical work to it. And I'll be doggone if I haven't seen 28-year-old men sit down like, oh, this is so hard. And I'm like, I'm 60. I run circles around you. Why? Because I've been trained that way, number one, from a mom who kept a house, kept a yard, had 2 kids, attended all their, you know, events, worked a full-time job, and there wasn't this, oh, I get to sit down and say, it's just too hard. That's the way I was trained. So I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Am I off track here?
A little bit. That's okay. We tend to do that.
But, you know, let's go back to redemptive violence. All right. So.
Yeah. Beat them into submission.
I did get a switch. I will say that I was very familiar with the switch. You know what a switch is? You're from Texas. You should know this.
Oh, yeah. In my house, it wasn't necessarily called a switch. It was called a peach tree limb because they're real flexible.
Yep.
Or a belt.
Well, we all know what a belt is. But, you know, a switch, you just belt, pull though, it up.
You know those fancy buckle sets that has the buckle and the keeper and then the tip?
Yeah.
My dad's belt had a tip on it.
Okay, I never got hit with the tip, but...
Well, I didn't say I got hit with it. I just said he had it.
Oh, yeah, sometimes the fear was all it took. I'm going to get the belt.
Yeah.
Get the belt. No, the switch, it was like, I'm going to get a switch. And my mom used all my names. You know how they use all your names when you're in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, back
or
to.
Your full, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what you meant. Your full name. Right.
Right.
And then there's me. I have so many names, and they have changed frequently enough that there's times when I call out three before I get the right one.
So the other day, someone was looking at my ID and they said, your name is Carol Danette Mercer Moffitt. You have four names. And I said, yes, but I go by Dee Dee. He was like, oh my gosh. Oh, it was funny. All right. So principle of redemptive violence is this: getting somewhere by going the opposite direction. Okay. Or thinking that you're going to get somewhere better by going the opposite direction. Now, we see this every single day in this business, meaning, all right, you're given flea tick, heartworm, all the toxins that are the traditional health narrative.
Preventatives, quote unquote.
Right, preventatives. So that's the principle of redemptive violence. We believe that we're going to get better by doing the opposite of what gets us better.
By making them worse. Can you really be getting better if in reality you're making them worse?
Okay.
So it looks like things are better, like the antibiotics, right?
Right.
It looks like things are better, but in reality, it's making everything worse. Right?
The problem, Niels, is that we don't know what we're seeing. I don't know.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
Right? It's like, I don't know. I think my dog is getting better. Are they? Is your cat getting better? Is your dog getting better? And, you know, Tom used this one. I love this analogy that he used. That you sprain your ankle. Right. And your ankle swells up really, really big. And you decide to do something that makes the swelling go down. Now,
which makes your ankle weaker.
Right.
And more prone to the injury.
Right. Now the swelling is there. So you don't keep walking on it.
Yeah.
But we want that swelling to go down immediately. So we do things to make the swelling go down, and is our ankle, like you said, better off for making the swelling go down? That's like the pain meds, Niels. At some, you know, they're let's just say a dog comes out of surgery, right? And they are in pain. Now, the pain will keep them from getting up and running around, or let's say the ACL tear or something like that. But we don't want that pain to be there. So I want to ask you, what do you do in that situation, right? Like,
you don't go to surgery in the first place.
Well, yes, but you keep making sense, and I can't let you do that. This is a nonsensical show. It all has to be nonsensical, you see.
Well, you can't, I mean, you know, you can't say, I don't know, that's, everything the body does is in response to something in a quest to heal itself. So, but when you do something artificial to it like that, how, I mean, you can't just let them be so painful that it's torturous, right?
Right.
So you have to do something, but by the same token, you have to keep them quiet until they're, you know, have healed enough to be able to handle activity.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a quandary, you know, that you have, but like you said, don't go to surgery in the first place, but sometimes you have to, Niels. And so this was so funny. I loved what this makes sense. So someone asked Dr. Cowan this question. What about if you have to go in and have a root canal, which we all know that root canals are probably more dangerous than not, but let's just say, all right, let's go with the tooth extraction. If you have to have a tooth extracted, is the anesthetic dangerous to the body? And Tom's response was this, well, probably, but how many of you want to go in and get a tooth extracted without being numbed up or get a kidney taken out or something like that without being, you wouldn't do it. So there has to be, you can't go so extreme, right? But we are extreme on the other side of this principle of redemptive violence when we are told, yeah, your dog needs all of these toxins put in its body so that it can be healthy. That one just blows my friggin' noodles.
Yeah. And then they say that real food is dangerous. I mean, basically, if a vet tells you something, do the opposite. That's all I can say. Unless it's Dr. Jasek or somebody that is a truly holistic vet. However, the problem there is there's a lot of vets calling themselves holistic and integrative and all that, and they're not. They're just using that moniker, and they're completely, totally conventional. And they throw in stuff like, you know, they learned chiropractic or they learned acupuncture or something like that. But they still use the conventional Western model. They still use conventional Western drugs, all that stuff. So if you're going to a holistic vet, or you what you think is a holistic vet, and they encourage you to get a vaccine, that is not a holistic vet. That's a folistic vet.
Folistic.
So you need to keep looking. So, you know, I mean, there are rare situations where a pharmaceutical may be appropriate, but they're incredibly, I mean, it would be a straight up life-threatening live or die in the next 10 seconds situation. So,
yeah, you know. And that goes back to something else that we've been hearing from Dr. Tom is that we don't wait long enough, right? We don't wait long enough to see if the body's actually going to heal itself because we're so afraid that the body's going to die in the next few minutes. Okay, like when you get a cancer diagnosis as a person or a pet, you automatically think, oh my gosh, they're going to die tomorrow. And that's seldom the case, right? We have time. But we don't wait long enough to see if the swelling is going to go down, to see if the abscess is going to poke a hole in the body so it can drain naturally. We don't wait because of the fear.
Well, and this culture is accustomed to instant gratification. And pharmaceutical drugs give you that. You see something basically instantly. And in a true healing modality, it takes time for things to truly heal. So, and I don't think anybody, even doctors, will tell you that they put you on a, like, say, blood pressure medication or statins or any of those other nasty things. They'll say this, it won't cure you. This is not curative. It's not going to cure you. It's just to manage your situation. It's like, well, why don't you just change the situation instead of piling on more toxic crap. I mean,
that makes way too much sense. That makes way too much sense. Let's change the situation. So one of the biggest questions that you and I get, our entire, you know, group gets is, what should I start my dog on? I'm just switching off a kibble. I'm coming on to raw. My dog's allergic to everything. Right. And basically, it's we make it too simple. And Tom said something that rang so true today. When you make things simple, people think, well, why am I talking to you? Why do I want to get information from you? You don't have any more knowledge than I do. So you have to make it appear that you have all this knowledge that nobody else can gain, right? Like you're this superior. And I get it, that there are certifications, homeopathy, nutrition, all of these different things. There are certifications. But what I'm trying to say is when you make it so simple that you just have to use your common sense, a lot of times it's rejected. Does that make sense?
Well, people are convinced. I mean, the whole complete and balanced nonsense and AFCO approved nonsense and biology in general, you know, this is the rule, but it's only true in 40% of the time and blah, 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 blah. And there's this exception and that exception and all that kind of, and it's like, well, you know, pretty much everything we know about biology is not correct. So, it's finally starting to come out now that peer-reviewed science is basically pharma paid borrowed authorship names for studies, right? I mean, the vast majority of quote unquote scientific studies out there are inaccurate, biased, and don't adhere to any sense of logic or original scientific method or anything. So, you know, where's the studies? Well, who cares where the studies are? They're all lies anyway. So, and I can say that because I worked in academia for 20 years. I was in labs. I know what goes on in labs. I worked in labs multiple. And it's publish or perish, basically. And if your experiments don't match what the grant that you have is trying to prove, you restructure it until it does. I mean, that's just the way science is done.
But there is validation to say, how did you arrive at this diagnosis or this deduction? Or, you know, I was talking about with Tom, and you heard it, where now they're saying that these dogs, whether they're coming off the reservation, whether they're coming over from Turkey or whatever, that they have a sexually transmitted disease. And you're like, well, how do you know they have a sexually transmitted disease? Well, because they all have these lesions and sores on their genitals. Well, maybe there's something that they're all laying on. I mean, I don't know. I would really like to know, how do you know that this is a sexually transmitted disease? And what is a sexually transmitted disease, right? Why would a dog, in your opinion, Niels, have a sexually transmitted disease?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the quote-unquote sexually transmitted diseases in people are not what you think they are either. You know? You said that what they have is basically like bumps or pustules or whatever. Well, that has seems to me like it would have a whole lot more to do with environment than, like you said, what are they sitting on? What are they exposed to? Just a contact dermatitis or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't really think that it's a thing, but I don't think any of those quote unquote diseases are a thing. So,
yeah. So it just some of the stuff that comes out, I'm just like, well, how did you?
Somebody in chat had a really good. I didn't get to see, but you know, just the blurb that the preview that hits you as comments are going by, but. She said, I wonder if there is a new chemo drug that they're wanting to test, but they don't want pushback on. So they're using that population of dogs as test subjects to see what happens with that chemo drug. And I'm like, that makes more sense than anything to me.
Right. Yeah, there's just so much nonsensical stuff that we as pet parents seldom push back on, seldom ask the questions. So, because we don't, first of all, sometimes it is that pet parents don't want these confrontational meetings. And sometimes it's just that we don't know what question to ask. It's like, well, I don't even know how to think about this, right? I don't know how to structure a question in the way that would make any sense.
Yeah, that's why you need to watch more of Tom's videos so that you can change the way you look at things, right?
Right. Right.
That's kind of what I was talking about, the bumpers in the on the bowling alley. Just keep you kind of in the right lane as to how to look at things. It's a whole paradigm shift that, you know, we're also inundated and brainwashed into what we think, that it's really hard to shift out of that. Even if there's people that know that something's wrong and even some specific things that are wrong, but they can't twist it or turn it around in their brain to look at it in a different way, because we've just been so indoctrinated into that way of thinking. So it's not an easy thing.
It's not an easy thing. And I contend that it has everything to do with fear. And that is the way that this principle of redemptive violence perpetuates pets. Right. You're trying to get to health by doing the opposite thing. You're trying to make your dog healthy by pumping in all of these toxins. Now, I don't know. Maybe pet parents don't really understand that flea and tick, heartworm, you know, the pharmaceutical ones and all the vaccines have toxins in them. Maybe that's the case.
Well, I think more people understand that or it's easier for them to understand when you explain it about the flea and tick stuff, about, you know, being a neurotoxic and all that. But most everybody in mainstream thinks that vaccines are the greatest thing since sliced bread, but nobody knows what's in them. People think it's saline and an antigen.
Oops.
I think that's all it is. And, you know, so. Even aside from all of the toxic crap that's in there, which, you know, there's a list of probably 30 or 40 things that are in vaccines, and different, it varies a little bit from one to another and from company to company, but not a lot. But I mean, even if it was just saline and an antigen, it wouldn't not be toxic, and it wouldn't fix anything. Because the whole thing about antibodies is totally incorrect anyway. Antibodies are not specific. Not at all specific for anything.
But, okay, here's a double-edged sword on that antibodies thing, Niels. Because right now, you can somewhat get away without getting a rabies shot if you say, I'm going to test titer test.
You can get away with the others, but not rabies.
Well, right, but still. So that would mean that titer tests are pretty insignificant or inconclusive.
They are. I've said that multiple times. They don't mean jack shit unless you're using them as, unless something that you, like a kennel or, you know, a training program or something like that will accept that in lieu of vaccines, then by all means, do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, use what's at your disposal to avoid having to, you know, if you want to participate in those kinds of activities and they require that, then by all means, use it. But as far as being a meaningful measure of immunity or anything like that, they don't mean jack.
So the next question that I'm hearing from people is, then how do I know if my dog's immune? It's like, well, what do they need? What are we trying to protect them?
They're immune. And if they get sick, what? Everybody gets sick. How many times have I said you've got to let your dog be a dog? And that means if their system needs to be cleared out, if they've got stuff that needs to come out, they need to be allowed to be sick to let it out. That's a normal process. It's like Dr. Kaufman says, it's like cleaning the air filter, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world.
Right. Now, the question that came up today was diarrhea. How do you know if it's a detox situation or it's a situation where, meaning if it's detoxing, you're getting better? Okay. How do you know? Let's take diarrhea because that's a big one for pet parents. How do you know whether the diarrhea is signaling the body's getting better or getting worse? One moment. I think that Niels is having to deal with a barking corgi at the moment, so she's coming back.
Yeah, they were like out of control.
You didn't do the redemptive violence on them, did you?
No, I didn't. I just had to open the door and let them out.
There you go. All right. So how do you know
if diarrhea is a detox or not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know that. Oh, look, they really did need to pee.
Dogs are pretty smart.
Yeah, but sometimes they just start barking because they know I'll open the door whether they need to go out or not.
Oh, they trained you. They trained you.
Yeah, they did. Well, you don't. I mean, how would you know?
Well, but that's a must. Everybody thinks they must know right now.
Why? What difference does it make?
Because the dogs might die.
If the body's getting it out, then it's getting it out for a reason. It's not. I mean.
All right. So then the next thing is they're saying, yeah, but. Okay. So I've got two different situations going on that you've talked about a lot. But so someone is saying this pork is causing my dog diarrhea. And they think it's because it has certain bacteria in it. I said, well, it does have bacteria in it. It must have bacteria in it. And yeah, we need bacteria. And one thing that Tom said today is about the bacteria pre-digesting food so that we don't have to work so hard. So that was cool. But the other thing that you've talked about with pork is that it doesn't necessarily mean the pork is bad. Maybe you have a damp dog, and you talked about this before, that pork doesn't always work with every animal.
Yeah, because it's cool and damp. So if you have a cool dog or a damp dog, which realistically there's not a lot of those. Most dogs these days are warm or hot because they're so inflamed because of all the toxic crap. But if you do have one, then they're going to have excess liquid, and it's going to give them diarrhea. Plus, it's going to make them cold, you know, cold and clammy energetically. So that is going to result in an excess release of fluid and diarrhea. And so, you know, that just means you go to a different protein.
Right. Go to a warmer protein, right?
Right.
Go to a neutral, go to a warmer. Now here goes my dog.
There goes my dog. Probably heard mine. No. Now she came back in and started barking again. I don't know what her problem is.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that my husband understands. I'm doing a podcast. Oh, man. One moment. Okay. As I am calming my dog down, Niels, will you talk about, there's one other thing I want you to talk about, and that's chronic ear infections. What do you say about chronic ear infections?
Well, that's a loaded question. Chronic ear infections are a vicious cycle having to do with, usually start with a round of vaccines or a round of antibiotics. And then you give them the antibiotics and it clears up, but the body didn't heal. So they come back, and then, you know, every 6 months or so you end up with chronic ear infections. And it may also change to, that's the same thing with UTIs. It's the same explanation with UTIs. The only way to stop that is to stop the cycle. You have to stop poisoning the system with the antibiotics and actually let the body heal what's happening there. You have to support it and help it heal what's happening in there. But antibiotics are going to do nothing, but it's the redemptive violence thing. You think it's better, but it's in reality making it worse.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what happens, and I feel for these pet parents, they get them from the breeder, and the breeder is given that first round of vaccines, and then they have to go and they get another round of vaccines, and they start getting these chronic ear infections. So they get off kibble and they get on raw. The chronic ear infections remain, and now they're going through an elimination diet. And I feel for them because I feel for the pets.
They're hard to clear up. Once you have something embedded like that and you've used any kind of suppressive therapy, it's really hard to get to the bottom of it and get it uprooted. So
I think you need to work with somebody like Neely Piazza, who is a homeopath, who is a different type of thinker. She's not doing the principle of redemptive violence that says we're going to go the opposite direction and hope that we're going to get to the right place. See, this is what we don't do. And it's tough for folks to think like that. But I think there's a lot of good examples out there that you use, Neely, that we talk about here on the podcast. You can't keep doing something that assaults the body and hope that you're going to arrive at this healthy dog. Okay. I just, you know, we just don't see it. Number one, we don't see it. And it doesn't make any sense.
You get these people that have been going to the vet for months or years or whatever and still have this recurring problem. And it's obvious that what they're doing is not working. And yet they want homeopathy and diet to cure it in a week.
Instantly.
It's like, okay, so how is that logical? What else are you going to do? Go back to what you were doing that is not working and hasn't been working for years? You have to give it time. And after you've done those things, it takes longer because you've gone through that suppressive therapy and pushed the quote unquote disease deeper into the body so that it has, it's had to take on, different forms. And so so don't do that.
That's a great example. If your dog got here in the position that it's in today by doing the things that you've been doing for years, well, you're going to go back to that because you're saying the raw diet's expensive. You're going to go back to that.
How expensive are all those vet visits? right?
Yeah.
That are not helping.
And expensive is sort of subjective as well, too, right? It's like, you know, Dr. Jasek was talking about on a podcast, you know, she lives in Tennessee now. So she has, and she has a German Shepherd and it's a puppy. So she's buying a lot.
She's in Chihuahua. So she's feeding like five times more than normal.
Right. And she's having it shipped. And she said, you know, I sat down and I ran the numbers. And she said, even with shipping, it is less than what it would cost me to go out there and put it together myself. And I don't have the time to do that.
I know, yeah. Exactly. I tell people that too. They can't see it. They want to do DIY. And I'm like, well, that's fine if you can source it. But sourcing is really hard to find. It takes the time not only to go out and get it and find it and pick it up. You need space to put it because you pretty much have to buy in bulk to save any money. So you need a dedicated freezer space. You need the time to put everything together. Most people will do, you know, need some kind of grinder of some sort. So you have all the, unless you already have all that stuff, which who already has all that stuff?
A butcher.
Right? Exactly. and, you know, buying the quality of meat at the grocery store, just the meat is three times as much per pound as a blend already put together is. So I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, but I'm in the biz and you're in the biz. But I do think what is well worth your time is to work with Neely Piazza. All right. So my team is going to help you. If you say, tell me where I start or tell me how much I need to feed, we can do that. But where we stop and Neely begins is on these dogs with chronic ear infections, skin diseases, gut problems, looking at the principle of redemptive violence, meaning what are you doing that's going in the opposite direction of what you really want for your pet? That's what she's really great at. She continues to study every single day. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, where can I get a nutrition certification? All right. That's one little drop in the bucket, guys. Nutrition certification is a little bit of knowledge, but the experience is where you're going to excel with somebody like Neely. When you've seen thousands of dogs, and you're working with a lot of different people who are seeing dogs and they're trying this and they're trying that. And you're looking at, you know, somebody that's working in the new biology, a different way of thinking. This is where your money is so well spent, right? To me, that is what.
And I finally did do what you've been on me to do for years now.
What is it?
And put all of my degrees and certifications and stuff on the website. So if anybody wants to see them, they're on my website.
Right. I mean, I get it. If you want to get in this business, you got to start somewhere. And that probably is with some type of nutrition certification, but don't end there because there's so much more to it, right? There's just so much more to health and seeing things and, you know, pretty much figuring out that one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, medicine has put everyone in a box.
Yeah.
Every person, every pet. So get over to Neely Piazza's website. She does have a chat there, but the website is Whole, W-H-O-L-E, WholeAnimalWellness.com, WholeAnimalWellness.com. She will work with you, and you will stop doing this going in the opposite direction. Principle of redemptive violence. You got to get your dogs on a species-appropriate diet, regardless, okay? Because what are you going to do? Just like Neely said, what are you going to do? You're going to go back? You're going back to kibble? You're going back to the canned? You're going back to the prescription? That hasn't worked. So we can't go back there. We have to eat real food. We can help you do that right here at rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Neely Piazza?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
No, we don't. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Niels.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.